The nightlife in Halifax, Nova Scotia, isn't known to be overtly gay-friendly. A city with no village and only a few designated gay bars, Haligonians turned to Guerrilla Gay Fair as a way to once again enjoy a night on the town. I sat down in Halifax with Jeff Miles, an organizer with the group, to discuss their tactics.
Now, what was it that made you organize this group and go out to these bars and places?
Well, it actually, it was kind of a collaboration. There were two girls, they were friends of ours, that were interested in doing this, and they had heard about a guerrilla-type takeover in other cities. This was started in Ottawa. We as well have heard that there were takeovers in cities throughout the U.S., and basically they had heard about this, and we had discussed the fact that there was a limited number of venues in the city where the gay and lesbian community could go and, you know, interact and feel comfortable and things like that. So we were looking for an alternative to that, and as well we thought that it would provide an opportunity for people who may not be out officially to be able to interact and mingle, to meet other gay and lesbian people, and to, you know, maybe feel a little more comfortable and secure in numbers and things like that.
Now, in organizing Guerrilla Gay Fair here in Halifax, what gave you the idea to do it? Was it personal experience?
As I mentioned before, it was a collaborative event that it started, essentially. Personally, I, you know, was motivated because I have run into some negative experiences in the past before coming out, which kind of motivated me to maybe help the gay and lesbian community to be more comfortable and going out and doing things and feel more safe. We want to create a safe environment, and, you know, certainly I would be concerned if that was actually not the case, then we would maybe look at doing different venues or whatever, or be more sensitive to that. It's been very positive. We haven't had any concerns in that way, which has been great. But personally, I have run into situations in my past where, to the opposite extreme, which kind of motivated me to get involved to make sure that this is a positive thing, especially for the younger community who may be coming in, who may not be comfortable necessarily with hanging out with other gay and lesbian people at this point because they're concerned with that stigma that, oh, you know, you need to be going to certain, you know, spots or whatever. We want to make this positive. We want to make them feel comfortable. You know, it's a great community building and networking opportunity for them, and we want to make sure that it's also safe.
Do you find did you find that the city of Halifax wasn't very gay friendly?
No, we've actually found, like, as far as the Maritimes go, it is fairly progressive, and we haven't had a lot of pushback from that. I feel very comfortable here. One of the reasons why we've done this is because the few venues that we do have to go out and, you know, mingle and so on seem to be very designated to certain types of venues. So we have, you know, a dance bar, but we also have, you know, other kind of like coffee shop style places that are not necessarily, you know, the same as what you would get in the variety as far as straight bars go. So the reason why we wanted to do this was because, you know, we want to basically state that the gay and lesbian community is diverse, and they are going to want to participate in all of these different types of things, and, you know, we want them to feel comfortable in going out and doing that.
Now, is it better to travel in groups to go out here in Halifax? I mean, do people feel threatened going out maybe by themselves to these types of bars?
I wouldn't say that people feel threatened. One of the things you probably find is that the gay and lesbian community will go to the certain venues that, you know, I had mentioned before. Basically, out of habit, they do appreciate, you know, being with other people from the same community. As far as going to a lot of the other bars, it's not uncommon to see gay and lesbian people there, but it's less common to see larger groups of them. And typically, if you were to go to one of the straight bars, you may see, you know, one or two, you know, gay or lesbian people, but they were generally there with their straight friends. It's not something that they're, you know, doing as a statement or anything like that. It's basically they're just interacting with friends regardless. So I wouldn't say that it's an uncomfortable situation. The purpose, you know, in doing it in numbers is to kind of create an exposure and an impact and say, okay, you know what, like, there is a large community here, which is surprising to a lot of people, and that we're just the same as everyone else. So, and I think that's the reason why we wanted to be able to provide this opportunity.
How are specific places chosen for the activity?
Well, it's there's a kind of a little committee that we've put together, a group of friends that are interested in, you know, keeping this going. And essentially we sit down, we come up with a list of venues that we think would maybe not be the most obvious spot to gather a group of gays and lesbians. And we will as well pick, you know, a themed color or something like that and ask that everyone would show up wearing that color just to distinguish themselves. It's basically just, you know, for fun. I mean, it's all in fun anyway, but we're doing that to kind of pick a spot that some of us may have never gone, just, you know, for the entertainment factor, but as well to how they're going to react and maybe to, you know, meet new people and interact with them that you wouldn't normally meet.
Right. Now, how does the public act when you guys go out and you take over a bar?
We've had a really overwhelming response, especially from the staff of the venues that we've chosen. They've been very, very happy with it. We're walking in the door at 11 p.m. with, you know, up to, you know, 100, 120 people. I wouldn't say we haven't had any negative response. I mean, there's obviously, you get that in this community, like we get those comments periodically, like people feel threatened by it or whatever. That's why having such a large group, it's less likely that you would get a comment like that, because if someone's going to make a comment, chances are they're not going to make that comment when they're surrounded by 80 or 100 people that obviously are going to be opposed to what they're saying. You know, as far as the venues go, we're not concerned with choosing a venue that was going to not cooperate or to, you know, ask us to leave or anything like that. I don't think that we would ever run into that situation here. So we're pretty happy with that, and we feel pretty comfortable in picking it. We're just kind of looking for a diverse venue each time, and so we've kind of gone from one extreme to the other each month just to pick different spots and give people the opportunity to go out and check them out, because they probably have never gone.
Do you find after one of your takeovers that maybe if it wasn't a place that was friendly towards gays, it becomes one?
It's quite funny, because the last venue that we had chosen, Bubbles Mansion, which is kind of an interesting spot in Halifax, the idea that we had was to, you know, arrive wearing tank tops and fit the bill for the for that venue.
This is Bubbles, the Trailer Park Boys character.
Exactly, yeah. And so when we did that, the people that would generally go to that venue, we would perceive them to be somewhat homophobic, and it wasn't the case at all. Like, it's great to know that, you know, maybe we're wrong, maybe we don't need to necessarily worry about it in that kind of a space.
Now, do you think other smaller cities, I mean, other than the big ones like Toronto, Montreal, where there is a big gay community, do you see the smaller cities maybe setting up groups like your own and doing this sort of thing?
I would hope that they would. I haven't necessarily, you know, spoken to anyone about starting up these events in their own community, but certainly if people were interested in doing it and they wanted to kind of get some feedback on our story, then they can contact us through the blog and we could, you know, talk to them about how we approached it initially. We didn't want it to, obviously, to be a hostile thing in any way. I mean, when you say a takeover, it sounds like somewhat hostile. I mean, it's just meant to be in fun, and it's meant to be a community building exercise. It's a great way to meet new people and, you know, to go out and have fun and check out a different spot. I mean, it's everyone loves to be able to do that. And in a smaller city, you probably find that the gay community would not generally go out to all these, you know, different venues, because they may be concerned with that stereotype that they're going to be verbally harassed or something like that.
But it's all done in the spirit of having fun?
Definitely. It's completely in the spirit of having fun. We go out, we have a great time. There's generally people taking pictures of the crowds just to see the impact, and we post those pictures on the blog and on the Facebook group. We want to create a level of excitement, and we want people to be interested in doing it. We're certainly welcome to feedback if people have venue ideas or, you know, other activities. We're basically doing it for them. It's not our own personal preference. As far as the venues chosen, we kind of sit around a, you know, round table and have a discussion about where we think would have a great impact, or where people may never have gone and it would be an interesting opportunity to go there. We're going to eventually run out of bars. I know it's hard to believe in Halifax, but we will eventually run out of spots, and we want to go back to where the people want to go to. So,
well, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you very much.